In him is abide with me is tis eventide. Brother Julius, no long introductions. We've already cut into your time with this wonderful introduction with your hymn here. The topic of Brother Julius's discourse is very simple. One word, perception. Brother Julius.
Thank you, Brother Butch. Thank you, Brother Ken, for your prayer. Brethren, we're only endeavoring to implement what our brother David Stein spoke about, the sanctifying process. And through singing to our Heavenly Father, that's part of the sanctifying process also. Grateful to be here. We convey to you the Christian greetings from my wife Sylvia, who's really not doing that great right at the moment. But it's a daily struggle with many of us. My family, they all send their love, our ecclesia, which some of you, them are here already. And we appreciate, how did Brother Ken know what I was going to speak about? He said, he mentioned spiritual sensitivity in his prayer. That's really what we're going to talk about, perception. Spiritual perception. You have a pass out besides the hymn. If someone doesn't have one, they're extras. The brothers who passed them out, there are quite a few there. We should have extras. Thank you, Randy and Jonathan. We have a list of contents in the brief time that we have here, the time allotted. Number one is definition, defining perception. Number two, parallel of First Advent, our Lord's First Advent to our Second Advent, the parallels. Man, a special creation. Four, our senses. How many do we have? Five is next. Five, applying them spiritually. You'd be surprised. And six, Jehovah, the source of light, energy, knowledge, life itself. We find it intriguing that the same apostle enlightens us with a parallel to our day. And that is the apostle Peter. He was the one that, brethren, he experienced a miraculous manifestation. He was miraculously enlightened when the disciples, the apostles, they were wondering, is this really Jesus? Is this really the Messiah that we're talking with? And they said, well, you know, the doubt in their minds was magnified when they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah. In response to his question, he says, do you really know who I am? And they responded with much doubt. He said, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, and so forth. He says, but whom do ye say that I am? And here's Peter, the wonderful Peter, saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did our Lord Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, Peter, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Brethren, we suggest to you a parallel. In our day, it is the same apostle that says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that at the second advent, at the second presence, scoffers would come questioning the Lord's presence. And it is the same apostle that assures us in parallel that indeed our Lord Jesus is present. At the first advent, of course, our Lord died, sacrificed to redeem. In the second advent, he is to reign with his church and set up his kingdom. And we believe a process has been in operation since 1874. But focusing a little more specifically on our topic, we quote a very familiar scripture, a precious scripture to you, Psalms 139:14. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. How many senses are generally agreed to be possessed by the human body? A sister said 5. Okay. We will proceed, and we give you our opinion, and believe me, it's not written in stone. It's not the last word, but we find it fascinating to share this with you. With the chart that we gave you, we will try very hard not to confuse you. In the paper, you have 3 columns. The center has scripture in it, the center column. The other two have parallels. The one on your right, on the right side, is the spiritual parallel. The one on the left is the physical sense. Physical, scripture, spiritual parallel on the right. Okay? We expect you, if you would, as we go along, to fill in the physical. We'll give it to you. We'll just give you the first letter of each word as you notice. But we'll give it to you the word as we go along. You know, it's interesting to note, we were talking when we got here this morning, talk about exchanging values or ideas with some of the brethren, as Brother David mentioned in his talk. When you greet somebody, what is that tendency? What is that inclination to talk about the frivolous or the spiritual? I was delighted with our brother Wes Kramer. We're talking about values in our day, and Sister Tony too. And brethren, what a downward trend we are witnessing in our day on values. What a disappointing trend. And it is highlighted by precipitating morals and values in general. The original noble creature has become callous or insensitive. Where have their senses gone? Where is their sound perception? How sobering the words of the Apostle Paul, that in these last days we would witness a severe lack of affection. It commenced with a distraught Cain after slaying Abel, and he complained, as you recall the account where he says, questioned by God, he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" It is of interest to us that the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11 refers to Abel's sacrifice as being more acceptable than Cain's because of his faith. because it was offered in faith. We quote briefly, in part, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. In the context, the model for faith is patterned after Father Abraham. As noted in verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter 11, saying in part that he looked for a city which hath foundations and whose builder and maker is God. You don't suppose that Abraham had a notion about the New Jerusalem? Well, consider this. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad." How could he project so far? He possessed a sense of distance. That's your first word. Distance. Distance is your first. You have the D for distance. And it parallels to faith. What about the prophet Daniel? Do you know what he was asking for? The prophet Daniel wanted a television in his day. Television means far off seeing. Obviously, we are being facetious. Daniel requested to see beyond what God's wisdom would permit. Consequently, his request was denied. To illustrate a point, and that is that our requisite to please our Heavenly Father is that we must walk by faith and not by sight. That is, to believe without seeing, without beholding the physical or the tangible, even though the physical aspect of distance is fascinating. For example, if I were to walk off this stage right now, unless I could judge distance, I would fall, wouldn't I? But I'm able to judge, use that sense of distance. But brethren, still our emphasis is on the spiritual aspect. It will be obvious as we proceed that this trait of character, faith, will be fundamental to the others. To all the others, as you know, in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Years ago, I worked with a lady, very nice lady, and she had difficulty maintaining her balance when she walked. And she shared with me that the doctor told her, says, "Well, you know, you have a problem with your feet. Says your toes." The toes and your feet promote balance. They give you balance when you walk. Question: are we maintaining our balance when we walk? We parallel balance to spiritual moderation, that is, self-control. And on your sheet, please write balance for B. Philippians 4:5, that wonderful chapter that Brother David went to. One translation says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Another says, "Let men know your forbearance." We find that most meaningful because our walk with our God cannot be evaluated on the basis of things always going our way. As one philosopher said, a life that is not tested is not worth living. So, in going back to the toes, are your toes being stepped on occasionally? How do you respond? Personally, I find that to be quite a test. And brethren, I seriously ask you, when your toes are stepped on, how do we respond? Is our character rounded out and well balanced, or are we frail, irritable, and vindictive instead of strong, sweet-tempered, and merciful? We appreciated the theme at the New England Convention a few months back. The specific point we have in mind was the segment on balancing character and doctrine, which was presented very well by our brother Len Grice. You know, a critical factor which psychologists are putting more emphasis on in recent years is the balance between IQ and EQ. We know what IQ stands for, right? The intelligence quotient. What's EQ stand for? The emotional quotient. The highest IQ in the world is of little or no value unless the individual has a corresponding respectable and complementing EQ or emotional stability. Going back to the presentation on New England, we appreciated so much the thoughts that were presented, and we complement them by saying that doctrines are necessary, but character has to be developed and strengthened by them. Which bring us to our next feature as we read in part from Nehemiah 8:10. How many of you recall Sister Loretta Williams? She was a sweet sister. She's the one that brought this text to my attention for the first time. She made it precious to me. And that is Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, we give to you, for number three, the muscular sense or strength that corresponds to joy. And brethren, the issue here is not necessarily how strong we are, but what do we do with our strength? Have you ever noticed some of these muscle men, how when they lift? And incidentally, it's a good idea for us when we lift something heavy. Always keep your head up. You'll protect your back, pretty much. It's a great help to the back when you lift something heavy. But we all also like the idea of that while you're doing that, you should look up. Symbolically, meaning that our strength comes from the Lord. Brethren, on strength and muscle, who carried the heaviest burden ever in history? Our Lord Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the shame. So strength has a connection to joy. So far we have distance, balance, muscular. Are you with the program? You following? The proceeding introduces us to another feature which we find recorded in Timothy, the second letter, 2:24 and 26. So your fourth sense, you have a T. You should have a T there for touch or feel. Okay? And here it talks about gentleness, how the servant of the Lord should be gentle unto all men, not to teach, patient. And the most difficult challenge to us, I believe, brethren, is instructing those that contradict themselves. You know, and sometimes we need not go too far from our circle to see contradictions. So it's a real challenge. And we have a wonderful account in the Bible that's so dear to me. I love to meditate upon it, on this aspect of gentleness when the centurion's servant was ill to death, almost dying, and he sent for the Lord Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus was a busy man. So in coaxing, trying to get the Lord to go over there, the centurion said, "Look," he says, "you don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed." And the part that is so gentle, so impressive too, is how the centurion said, "Trouble not thyself. All you have to do is say the word." And he did, and his servant was healed. What a beautiful lesson in gentleness and humility. And as you know, that's recorded in Luke, the 7th chapter. And again, we know the natural connection of these traits to faith. Surely we commend the centurion's humility and gentleness, but also the kindness and magnanimity exhibited by our Lord and Master Jesus. Everything he did was always acceptable to the Father. His offerings were always a sweet smell, a sweet savor unto our Heavenly Father. Genesis 8:21. Noah's offering, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of Noah's faithfulness." So that's just in part. We're quoting there. But your next sense, you should have an S for smell. Sense of smell. Any parallels to peace? Our Lord Jesus Christ, only through him is our sacrifice valid. Only through him do we have peace with and from God. Further, we are more perceptive if we consider the responsibility that goes with this peace, like Brother David said, that sanctification is our part, and God indeed does his part. We introduce our next feature by reading quoting Revelations 3:16, and that's very familiar to you, and you recall the reprimand upon the Laodicean church because they were neither hot nor cold, Revelation 3:16. On your chart, please write temperature under physical, and goodness for the spiritual parallel. And we recall the beautiful exhortation by James, the 2nd chapter, again, was mentioned by Brother David, how, and others, the balance of faith has to be balanced with works. I have a story here. I don't know if we're going to have the time to relate it to you. About goodness. Just remember the name Brian. Brian. He was a lady. There was a lady stranded on one of the main highways. She was driving a Mercedes. She was a well-to-do woman. She had a flat tire. This is a true story. She had a flat tire, and she was there for some time, I think almost an hour, before this shabby, raggedy man came along. And when she first saw him, she was truly afraid of him. But anyway, Brian proceeded to bail her out, fix the tire, and won her confidence, and she was so appreciative that she said, how can I ever repay you? She said, here's money, some money. No, no, he said, don't give me anything. He says, next time you see somebody in trouble, you help that person. So the lady proceeded on her way and appreciated that. And she came upon this little restaurant. And the little restaurant was run down, very, very shabby. The waitress was 8 months pregnant, and she owned the restaurant, and she almost, quite obviously, she was almost destitute. So the lady, she stopped there, and she made all these observations, and when the lady had a sandwich in the shop, when she left, she gave the owner of the restaurant, the lady, pregnant lady, $100 to pay for a $5 sandwich. So she, before the lady could return, before the waitress could return, the lady left. So when she came back, she looked at the napkin and she saw besides having the $100 change, she saw four $100 bills and in the under the napkin, and she was quite, you know, amazed at what the lady had done. So that night, when she went home, the waitress, she retired. And she went to bed, and Brian was in bed. And she went to him, and she kissed him. She says, "Hon, look what some lady gave me today." Brian had been handsomely rewarded. $400 and some, but the point is that good always returns, brethren. That's the story. So your next sense should be pain, number 7. And on pain, we refer to the beautiful scripture in Romans, the 5th chapter. The Apostle, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, where we struggled through our problems, the tribulation. But it is the only way, brethren, that we can develop patience, faith, and hope. So, number 7. Are we in number 7, right? So, we have pain. Have you been to a nursing home lately? Brother Joe Panucci and I go to a nursing home every Wednesday night. We visit our sister Antoinette Franco, who is grandmother to Brother Jonathan and Sister Jewel Franco. Some of you may recall her. And brethren, what a sad experience to see the pain, the misery, the suffering. And we submit to you that if ever loneliness were dramatized, it is in a nursing home. Recalling one definition of the cruelest word in the English language is loneliness. So what a privilege it is to visit one of our dear ones in a nursing home. Next one should be based on Hebrews 2:9. Jesus tasted death for every man. Your sense is taste. That's number 8. Jesus tasted death for 3.5 years. He bore his symbolic cross. You and I bear our symbolic crosses, Lord knows for how long. But he bore it physically also. He was faithful unto the cup. The cup which my Father hath poured, shall I not drink of it? Surely, sometimes it doesn't taste too good. But on the other hand, it is also a cup of blessing. You know, sometimes we lose our sense of taste and smell both. And symbolically and physically, there is one, at least a symbolic antidote, that is that swallowing our pride occasionally will never give us indigestion. So for taste, we have meekness. The corresponding spiritual sense is, or fruit is, meekness. Now we come to number 9, and this is one of my favorite subjects. I love the manna text, I think, is for March 7th. And that manna text says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Perfection through love. And it became precious to me when Brother Bert Eckelt was ill. He and I meditated on this text over the telephone, in fact. And love. Your corresponding physical sense is the articular. The articular sense. The articular sense relates to the joints. You know, our joints, knees, whatever. They're pretty critical part of our body. Their function is very obviously critical. But you know, the apostle says in Hebrews, or rather Ephesians 4:16, that which every joint supplieth. We need to interact. We need to sanctify each other. Your next one, what other senses are there? There's hearing. Hearing cometh by the Lord Jesus revealing himself to us. Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will do what? I will come in and sup with him. But you've got to hear the voice of the Lord. What a privilege to hear the Lord Jesus' voice. But we got to hear. And the next one is, so you have hearing. The articular is 9, hearing is number 10. Okay? And the last one is sight. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. What do they see? What do we see, brethren? Ours is not a religion, brethren. Ours is a vision. In 1874, the Lord utilized our dear Pastor Russell to reveal to us present truth. And Jehovah God, brethren, you know, there's such a simple scripture in Genesis 1:3. And the Lord God said, let there be light. Oh, yeah, you just turn on a switch. That's not what we think that. We believe that there is a lot more to the scripture than just turning on a switch. We believe that another level to the scripture, perhaps more profound level, is that God was willing to reveal himself to his creatures, to us, and eventually to the human family. So there you have, brethren, how many senses? 11. Now, I'm sure there'll be some debate on those, but basically those are the senses that we share with you, and We give Jesus for hearing, and we give Jehovah God for sight. He turns on the lights. Jehovah God. So, could you fill out those blanks? Any clue, anyone? This is a little bit facetious. Horse sense is found only in a stable mind. And the next one is soap and water and common sense are the best disinfectants. Brethren, may the Lord help us to. I was impressed with our brother Ken's prayer to have that spiritual sensitivity. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Julius. What a wonderful stimulus to the new creature, these thoughts of self-examination, where we are, how to approach this, to the subject of perception. And yes, Brother Julius was one of those joints that supplied me amply when I was ill and down and under, as did many of you. So that it was a nice way to illustrate that we all need each other. You can't do without each other. So we have to keep this in our foremost of our minds, that this is very, very effectuous to our new creature and to keep us on the track in the narrow way, so to speak. Well, dear brethren, let's, if you have your sheet of paper with you in front, Abide with Me to Eventide, one of the most beautiful hymns that we know of. And
again, the same, everybody together, then the second, the females, and the third, the males.
Okay. So the first one, all of us, and the chorus, all of us. The second one, the ladies, and then all of us, the chorus. And the third one, the males, and then all of us, the chorus.
Thank you.
Okay.
loving Father in heaven, that we might be worthy to come into thy courts, to bow before thee and magnify thy holy name. Grateful for the joys of truth, the privileges of convention and fellowship, we pray that you would continue to guide us and all of thy people throughout the world. And now we reflect on the noon meal, and we do realize that all good things come from thee. Thank you, loving Father, for thy provisions and the efforts of this ecclesia. Now we praise and thank thee. In Jesus' dear name, amen.
A short announcement, brethren.